The first reading is from Psalm, chapter 149, beginning in verse 1. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker, and let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with the tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the second reading is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, let's stand for the reading of the gospel.
My dear friends in Christ, the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Friends, let's pray. Father, it is a wonderful truth that we are your possession and no one can steal us from out of your hand, for you are mightier than all. Father, it is a wonderful truth that you love us and that even if we wander, God, that you, like a shepherd, come searching for us and call for us. And Lord, you meet us. And so, Lord, we thank you for the great salvation that you have given to us. And Lord, we pray that as we open up your word today, that the truth of that salvation would be made known infinitely more in our hearts today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, you may be seated. So let me ask you, What's your favorite song? What's your favorite song? Think about that for a second. What is it? Now, I assume we all have a favorite song, or maybe you're like me and have several favorite songs. But what is your favorite song? And now let me ask you this. Why is it your favorite song? Whatever song comes to mind when I ask that question. Maybe you just really like the melody. Maybe you just really like the lyrics. But I have a hunch that it's probably your favorite song because of something much deeper. See, music has this great way of invoking emotions in us. And music has this great way of invoking memories in us. A song can take us back to a special time in our life. A song can invoke the memory of someone that we loved very much. And so we listen to the song, and it's our favorite song because it makes us think of something or someone in the past. Music has a way of making us remember, but not just does it have a way of making us remember, it also has a way of inspiring our imagination, So maybe the song that you're thinking of is by a great storyteller, like Johnny Cash or Bob Dylan. And so when you hear one of these songs, it transports you into a different story. Or it has a way of making you wish that the world was better and inspiring you to make the world a better place than it actually is. Music has a way of invoking our memories and inspiring our imaginations. You know, one of the things I love about the church is that probably more than anybody else, we sing. You ever think about that? We sing a lot. Like, there's hardly ever a time when we're gathered that we don't sing in some form. It's just kind of part of who we are. It's what we do. We sing songs. And the songs that we sing, they invoke memories and they inspire our imagination. And when I talk about imagination, I'm not talking about fiction. I'm talking about the imagination to see beyond the reality that's immediately around us. See, great art has a way of taking us from out of where we are and seeing the world differently. That's what I mean by imagination. So as Christians, we sing, and we sing a lot. We sing lots of different songs. But one of the things I want to suggest to you this morning is that all the songs that we sing as Christians are really just variations on one specific song, one song that we're called to sing. I know that might sound a little weird, but stay with me. Here's what I mean. In Psalm 149, the psalm we read just a little bit ago, it started out like this. It says, "Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the godly." Sing a new song. That's something that we hear all throughout scriptures, this command to sing a new song. What is this new song? Well, if we read on into Psalm 149, we would see that it's the song of salvation. It's the song of what God has done for his people in delivering them from their enemies, both physical and spiritual. And in doing so, God makes his people to be something that they weren't before the deliverance. He gives his people a new identity. He gives them a new name. He makes them his own. He gives them a new life, an eternal life now and a life in the age to come. So Christians sing this new song because it invokes memories of God's salvation in the past and inspires our imagination for the salvation that lies ahead, which honestly goes way beyond anything we really could ever imagine. And when we do that, the songs we sing, it gives us hope as we live our lives today in the present. And so we're called to sing a new song, And this new song is a song that can only be sung by the people of God. Now, it might take different forms. It might sound differently because it's expressed differently with various rhythms and tempos and maybe even lyrics because it's sung throughout all the tribes, all the tongues, and all the nations of the world. But at the end of the day, it's the same message. It's the message of salvation, which is the gospel. And it's this song that we can only learn the lyrics to the song after we've encountered Jesus. See, it's only after we've had a saving encounter with Jesus by faith that we can truly sing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And it's only after we've encountered Jesus can we really sing "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." And it's only after we meet Jesus can we really understand who God is and truly sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." See, we sing a song of salvation, and it reminds us of our past salvation. It gives us hope for our future final salvation, and it gives us strength and grace for our life today. So I start with that truth because today is All Saints Day, like I said earlier, and today is a day for both remembrance and looking ahead. And so we remember the lives of the faithful Christians all throughout church history and throughout, and even in our own lives, the Christian faithful who have gone on before us into glory and who are currently standing before the throne of Jesus singing this new song. And their lives give us and are an inspiration for us as we continue to run our own race of faith. And so on All Saints Day, we don't look just ultimately to the saints, but we look ultimately to Jesus, and we remember who Jesus is and what he has made us to be. He has made us members of his body. He has made us citizens of his kingdom. He's given us a new song, which kind of acts like a national anthem, if you will, for the kingdom of which we are citizens of. And the song reminds us of who we are in Christ. And friends, I believe that this truth is exactly what we need to hear today, the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Because, well, quite honestly, we've got an interesting week ahead of us. We really do. Now, I know some of you are wondering if I was going to say anything about the election. Probably most of you were hoping I wouldn't. But let me say this, because I think this is a truth that we need to hear today, and particularly for this week. The first truth is Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And the second truth is that we are the people of Jesus who is Lord. Those are the true truths that we need to remember. Remember that on November 3rd, Jesus is Lord. And guess what happens on November 4th? Jesus will still be Lord. Amen? And on November 4th, we will still be the people of Jesus who is Lord. Friends, we're called to seek the welfare of the city. We're called to do our part to help the poor and the vulnerable and to seek life and to speak truth. But no matter what happens, we are the people who, we're people of hope. We're people who are called to witness to a hopeless world in both word and deed because we have hope that is found only in Jesus. Only in Jesus. And that's not going to change this week. But how do we witness to that hope that we have in Jesus? Well, we do it by singing the song of salvation that much more loudly. We sing the song of salvation, and it's a different song than the world sings because the world has not yet found the hope that is in Jesus. But for those of us who have, and for the saints who have gone before us, the hope that we have is beyond all imagination. And that's what we see in the scriptures today. Psalm 149 calls us to read a new song, Revelation 7. If you got your Bibles, turn there. There's a couple things I want to say out of Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, we see this great vision of all the saints before the throne of Jesus. And what are they doing? They're singing. They're shouting. They're singing, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne. And that's the throne, not just of heaven, but also of earth. And unto the Lamb. Singing to Jesus who sacrificed his self so that we might live eternally. And what we see in Revelation chapter 7 is we see two things that I want to hold up for us that are important for our life today. One is that it reminds us that we as his church, we can stand confidently before the throne of God. We stand confidently before the throne of God. In Revelation 7, verse 9, it says this. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes, all peoples, all languages, standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. I want to focus on this little word here that's easy to pass over, the word stand. The word stand. They're standing. A little bit of context here. If you turned back to chapter 6, we see this vision of kind of all these great calamities coming on the world. And it's a symbol of God's judgment on the world. And what we see is we see people trying to hide from the judgment of God. And they're crying out. And here's what they're saying at the end of chapter 6. They're saying, "Hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of wrath has come. And who can stand?" Who can stand? That's the question that they're asking. Who can stand? The Greek word is this connotation of being firmly established. Who can be firmly established before God? And who can be protected is the other connotation there. And the answer is what we're seeing in chapter 7. The answer to who can stand is the multitude. The multitude. Those who are seen currently standing before the throne of God. Now, who are the multitude? I could spend a lot of time on this, but just for sake of brevity, let me say this. The multitude is the whole company of believers throughout all the ages, past, present, and future. And this multitude, it includes you, and it includes me. It includes all of those who have placed their faith in Jesus. You ever open up the scripture and say, "Hey, I'm included in that"? If you're a follower of Christ, do that with chapter 7, because that's who the multitude is. And what it tells us is that it encourages us in our life in Christ by reminding us that we have access to the very throne of God. And because of that, no matter what suffering, no matter what trials, no matter what kind of chaos we find around us, that we have access to the throne of God, that we are established there by faith in Jesus. It says that it gives this picture of the multitude in white robes. Now, how did their robes get white? The answer is found in verse 14, where it says, "These are the ones who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." See, it's because of Jesus' blood that we are made clean. It's only because of the Lamb who has shed his blood that we're actually able to stand justified before God. It's not because we're a good person or we've done a whole bunch of works or anything like that. It's because we've washed the robes in the blood of the Lamb that washes us clean and that makes us able to stand before God. Paul in Colossians 3:1 says this. He says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, who is seated at the right hand of God." Look, if Christ is seated at the right hand and you are in Christ, then guess where you are? You're firmly established, standing before the throne of God, at the right hand of God in Christ. And so this picture is a picture of the saints singing this song, this new song of salvation. And it reminds us that not only will we stand before God, but that we currently stand before God. For those who have placed our faith in Christ, that's our status. That's our status. One theologian calls this the Christian's twofold existence. He writes, "It's on the basis of Jesus' death and resurrection that Christians are already members and participants of the new world that is created by him by faith in the manifestation of Jesus. And they are already assembled before the throne of God, citizens of the kingdom of heaven, participators in eternal life." And so as Christians, we get to stand confidently before the throne simply by the blood of Jesus. And as such, our lives are then oriented around the throne of God. So that's the first truth. The second truth that we see in Revelation 7 is this, is that we have the assurance of our salvation because we are sealed by Jesus. We're sealed by Jesus. In fact, if we look back just a few verses at the beginning of chapter 7, what we see a vision of an angel, and he's going around and he's putting a mark on the heads of the servants of God. Now, again, there's a lot there, but just let me say that this is a picture of what Jesus does for his people. He puts a mark on them and he seals them. A seal is a symbol of ownership. A seal is a symbol of ownership. In the 11 o'clock service, I'm going to baptize Coastin, and I'm going to take some oil, and I'm going to make the sign of a cross on his forehead, and I'm going to say these words. I'm going to say, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Revelation 5:9, we see a picture of the heavenly host again singing praises to the Lamb and says, "For you were slain, and by your blood you purchased people for God," or "you ransomed people for God from every tribe, tongue, and nation." Friends, we are God's own possession. We are God's own possession, and as such, no one can steal us from out of his hand. We are sealed securely because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Think of it this way. If you want to know just how securely we are sealed in our salvation, think of it this way. When Jesus comes back and he ushers in the new creation and we stand before the throne of God, we will not be more secure then than we are now. We might be more joyful, but the security that we have, the assurance that we have now, is the same security that we'll have then. Why? Because we are God's own, and God has sealed us when we come to him by faith. John chapter 10, the gospel passage that we read, we heard Jesus say this. We heard Jesus say, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And I and the Father are one." See, we are securely owned by Jesus, my friends. I had a conversation one time with a person who had come to me, and the way that they had, were living was not really in accordance with the faith, and they were come to me in repentance and in confession and just really distraught by some things that had happened in their life. And as I was counseling this person, she said to me, she goes, "Does God remember me?" I thought, man, what a great question. Does God remember me? And it made me think of John chapter 10. And so we turned there and I had her read it. And I said, "Look, if you hear his voice, that means you're his own. Of course he remembers you. And like a shepherd who goes after his wandering sheep, you are his own because you hear his voice." See, the song that she was singing went something like this. "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it for the courts, your courts above." See, friends, in Christ, we have a security that goes beyond all imagination. We get to stand before the throne of God, access to the Father. We have a security, and we have an assurance that no matter what happens in this life, that we are saved simply because of the blood of Jesus. Friends, that's a song that I want to encourage us today to sing very, very loudly, because it reminds us of the security that we have in Christ. Because if we forget that security, what happens? We go searching for security in other places, in other things. This week is a week where there's a lot of people searching for security in politics. And if we search for our security there, then we only make it an idol. Friends, we sing the song loudly. So friends, as you think about this great truth about all that Jesus has done for us and for you and what Jesus has made us to be, let me ask you again. What's your favorite song? For Christians, it's the song of salvation. It is the song of salvation. It reminds us that Jesus has bought us. He has ransomed us from out of the kingdom of darkness, brought us to the kingdom of his light. He has marked us as his own. He has brought us into a new family. He's given us a new identity, and he's given us access to the Father. And that is a great hope of security. But see, here's the thing, friends. Like most songs, the song of salvation doesn't end. The song of salvation doesn't end. And not only does it not end, but it has a continual open invitation. So I don't know if you're here today or maybe you're watching online and you're saying, "I don't really know the words to that song." There's an invitation for you to come join the choir. To come place your faith in Jesus and to join the choir so that you might know the security that is found in Jesus and the hope that is found in him alone. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.